Corpus de Cristo, praise the Lord, body of Christ. It is Thursday morning, 5:55 in the morning. Give the Lord praise, give the Lord glory, give the Lord honor. For he has given us another day of life. And not only to myself, but to my family, my wife, my kids. A lot of our loved ones are awake. Some of them are still asleep. Some of us are getting up to go to work. Some of us are driving to work. Some of us, when you hear this podcast, will be coming back from work. The Bible says that in all times we should give God glory, for this is the will of God. So whether you're hearing this podcast in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening, at night, give God the thanks and the glory. And let us be grateful that we still have life. And the Bible, I know I've said this plenty of times, the Bible declares while there's life, yet there is hope. A dead man has no hope, but a person which is alive has hope. And our hope is not in man. Our hope is not in medicine. Our hope is not in our significant other. Our hope is not in our financials. Our hope is not in our job, in my health. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. He is the hope that this world needs. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. So let's get into it. Today we're reading probably the most significant scripture in the Bible. It is the heart of the Bible. It is the premise of salvation. It is the beginning to understanding who Jesus is. And we read in the book of John, chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. And it says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And here is the most significant scripture in the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that he would through him might be saved. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that this word would receive one person. I pray that your word, Father, would come and would creep into our soul, would creep into our mind, would creep into our heart, Lord, in Jesus' name. The word of God says that your word is like a seed that is being planted. Lord, and I pray that this morning, this evening, this afternoon, this night, whenever the body of Christ is listening to this sermon, I pray, Lord, that you would prepare the land of their heart, Lord. You would pull the weeds out. You would till the land, Lord. You would add fertilizer to the land and let the land be ready for the seed. The Bible says that he planted the seed in many types of soil, but only one type of soil received it. And it gave fruit to the 30, to the 60, to the 90. And I pray, Lord, that this word would be like a seed and it would be planted in our hearts. And it would give forth fruit in Jesus' name. Amen. See, the Bible tells us that Jesus wasn't just saying this scripture to say it. See, if you read back in chapter 3, verse 1, there's a man named Nicodemus who comes to Jesus by night. Nicodemus, a man of the law, he knew the law of Moses. He knew Genesis, Exodus, Deuteronomy, Numbers, Leviticus. He knew the Pentateuch. He knew it, but he didn't know Jesus. See, a lot of us know the Word of God, but we don't know Jesus. Do you understand that? A lot of us can read the Word, but we don't understand what we're reading. A lot of us can say, oh, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. But we don't understand the seriousness of that scripture. We don't understand the depth of that scripture. We don't understand the sacrifice of that scripture. We don't understand the legality of that scripture. And the Bible says that this man was of the law. He should have known. And Jesus, if you read, he even tells him, I speak to you the things of the law, and yet you don't even understand this? Jesus says, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, ye would believe not. How shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? He's telling him, if I were just to speak to you of natural things, you would understand. How do you understand if I tell you about spiritual things? So this man of the law comes to Jesus as night. That right there, if you understand what you're reading, is deep, because why didn't he come to Jesus in the daytime? Huh? Why didn't Nicodemus come to Jesus in the daytime? Jesus, for 3.5 years, preached the gospel. He says, many times have I been in the courtyards. Many times have I been out in public. And you did not try to seize me then. Why come you seize me now in the night? He says, I've been among you preaching the word of God in the daytime, out in public, and you didn't try to grab a hold of me then. See, Nicodemus was ashamed to come to Jesus. He didn't want the other priests to know that he was coming to Jesus. So he does it undercover style. A lot of us, we love Jesus, but we can't let our friends know that we love Jesus. A lot of us say we love Jesus and go to church, but then when somebody says, oh, are you a Bible thumper? Oh, are you one of those Jesus only? Oh, is that a Bible? Are you really reading the Bible? No, somebody left that at my house. That's just on my coffee table. You know, Nicodemus was about the law of God. Yet he comes to Jesus, the salvation of God. He comes to him at night because he didn't want nobody to see that he was coming to him. Then same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art the teacher come from God, for no man can do the miracles that ye have done except that he come from God. And Jesus answered unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. See, why did Jesus answer him that? He's telling him, look, I know that, you know, you come from God because nobody can do what you do if not sent by God. And God gives him a weird answer back. He says, I tell you right now that if you don't be born again, you won't enter the kingdom of God. Why? Because Jesus already knew what was in his heart. You can't hide from Jesus. So he comes to him at night, and you know what Jesus does? He puts a spotlight on him. Boom. Like saying, oh, you could have asked me this question in the daytime in front of everybody. But you're coming over here incognito style. You're coming over here with some little bit of deception in your heart. You're coming over here with some disguise. Well, God says, you know what? You can't enter the kingdom of heaven if you're not be born again. Jesus puts the spotlight on him. And now he's confronted with this salvation, thinking that I am saved. I am the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am from the 12 tribes of Israel. I am a priest of the nation of Israel. I am a priest of Jerusalem. He starts thinking of stuff all that. Jesus says to him, you cannot see the kingdom of God if you're not being born again. So now he says, how can a man of my age enter into his mother's womb again? And that's when Jesus says, if I spoke to you the things naturally, you wouldn't understand. How then can I speak to you the things spiritually? You're going to understand less. See, a lot of us think we know the Bible. Even I have been a pastor going on 12 years. Thank God. Glory to God for that. I don't know nothing. Every day, this word of God that I'm holding in my hand, and listen to the pages. This ain't no digital Bible, folks. This ain't no smart app on my phone, folks. This is the real pages of the word of God. Every day, a pastor going on 12 years, every day the word of God shows me, teaches me something. I'm not so ignorant to think that I know everything after 3 years of serving God, 5 years, 11 years, 12 years. Every day the Bible shows me something. This man knew the law front to back, right top to bottom, back to front. He knew the law, but he did not know the salvation or the love of Jesus Christ. How could he? He was raised in the law. And Jesus Christ brings a new law, which is grace. He was prepping the land. So he says, for that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. See, the first in verse 15 it says eternal life, and in verse 16 it says everlasting life. They both mean a lot of life. That's what they both mean. A lot of life. God came so you could have a lot of life. See, in the second verse, in verse 16, Jesus is proclaiming his own death. Did you ever understand that? Jesus is proclaiming his very own death, and we never even understood that. All we heard was, for God so loved the world. That's all we hear from that scripture. Oh, it's about the love of God. It's about the love of God. Jesus loves us. God loves us so much that he sent his son. That's why Jesus is here, because God loves us so much. Have you ever thought, am I worthy of God's love? Have you ever thought to yourself, have I ever thought to myself, and yes, I have. Have we ever thought to ourselves, am I worthy of that love of God? Have the things that I've done in the past, and by the past I mean yesterday, and by yesterday I mean all the years of my life up to yesterday, have the things that I've done in the past worthy of God's love? Let's be honest, folks. Every one of us listening to this podcast have done some things that we would be uncomfortable or that we would be unwilling to say to someone that we have done. And yet we walk around with such arrogance. Oh, God loves me. Oh, God loves me. You know, that because I'm somebody. Jesus loved me because I'm somebody. No, we're nobody. We are nothing without Jesus Christ. Now listen to this. God, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. See, Jesus is not only professing the love of God. Listen to this. Jesus is professing his very own death. If we paraphrase this scripture, it would read like this. For God loved his creation so much that he sent me to die for you when the time comes, so that you wouldn't have to die in your sin, that I would take the place of all the committed sin you've done, that I would pay the price for that sin. That way you can go on living, but living in God, living in him. Now that's a different picture. That's a different picture totally now. We would always see for God so loved the world, but we never saw that Jesus was prophesying or professing his very own death. That he gave his only begotten son. Jesus always says, I have come to do the will of my Father. That is his son. I have come to do the will of he that has sent me. Jesus would always say that. And now we see that scripture in a different light, and it means so much more. For Jesus to come and say, I'm going to die for you. That's what basically he was saying. So that you could live in him. Wow. Wow. Somebody had to die for you and I to live today. And you're like, but he's God. Why would he have to die? If your child was in need of a heart, if your child was in need of a kidney, a gallbladder, blood transfusion, lungs, whatever the case may be, and you were the only person that was compatible with giving your child that life. As a parent, because there's two kinds of parents in the world. Ones that have kids yet mean nothing in their life and they're never there. Let's be honest. We call them biologicals. And then there's another kind of parent in the world that is always there when a child needs something. And if one of those kids needed lungs to live, but that meant that the donor would have to die, a real parent who loves their children, he would not think about it. He would tell the doctor to prepare him. And to tell his children, or to tell that child, when he comes out of surgery, how much he meant to that father, to that mother. Before he was put under the knife. Now listen to the scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. That sounds like a father sacrificing himself for his children. That sounds like a father telling his children, this is how much I love you. I know you need life. And the only way you can get it is if I die on that cross. Let me do this. And he does. Some of you us out there haven't fully understood this scripture. We just see it as love, love, love. But the depths of this scripture are deeper than love. It's sacrifice. See, true love means self-sacrifice. See, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. He gave himself. He sacrificed himself. That's how much love he had for us. That he sacrifices himself for us. The definition of true love is self-sacrifice. You could have a mother and a child, and they're both eating the same meal. And the child who is growing obviously is consuming much more, needs to consume much more nutrition because his body is growing. And the child finishes his meal and looks over to the mother and sees that her plate is still kind of full. And the child doesn't understand money, if we have money or we don't have money. He don't understand financials. He doesn't understand stuff like that. He just sees that he's hungry. His mom has food on her plate. She's not eating it at the moment. So he says, "Mom, are you hungry? Can I eat that?" And right before she's about to answer, her stomach growls. Because she's hungry. But what does she tell her son? Does she tell him, "No, you already ate yours. I'm hungry. This is mine." Or does she smile, put her left hand on his head and play with his hair a little bit, and then push the plate over in front of him and says, "No, you go ahead, son. I'm full." True love is self-sacrifice. And Jesus displayed that for us. He loved us all. He didn't love only the saved. He didn't love only the Jews. He didn't love only the Gentiles. He didn't love only men. He didn't love only women. He didn't love only Westerners. He didn't love only tall people, short people. It says, "Whosoever believeth in him." I am a whosoever, and you are a whosoever. Pray this with me now that we understand the scripture. Father, I come before you as a whosoever. Lord, I understand now that yes, the scripture speaks of your love, but the underlined message was the sacrifice that you were going to do in just a few short years. Lord, I didn't understand that sacrifice until now. Lord, I come before you asking you to forgive me. Lord, I come and I confess with my mouth that I have committed sin. I have committed transgressions. I have committed iniquities before you. And Lord, now that I realize that you have self-sacrificed yourself for me, how can I live in this sin? How can I continue to live in sin, Lord? I cannot. Your love impulses me to be washed, to be made clean. It convicts me to think clearly and to repent and to convert and to ask you for forgiveness. Lord, I confess, Lord, that I am a sinner. And I confess that I have committed sin, Lord, and I ask you to wash me from all unrighteousness in Jesus' mighty name. I understand now how you love me. It wasn't just words. It was an action. It was a deed on the cross. You sacrificed yourself for me so that I would not pay the price, but you paid the price for me. How can I not love you for that and serve you for that? Thank you for washing me from all sin. Thank you for forgiveness of my sin. In Jesus' mighty name, say with me, 1, 2, 3, amen.